Chapter 12, The Foolish and the Weak. Meg could see nothing, but she felt her heart pounding with hope. With one accord, all the beasts rose to their feet, turned toward one of the arched openings, and bowed their heads and tentacles in greeting. Mrs. Watson appeared, standing between two columns. Beside her came Mrs. Hu, behind them a quivering of light. The three of them were somehow not quite the same as they had been when Meg had first seen them. Their outlines seemed blurred, colors ran together, as in a wet watercolor painting. But they were there. They were recognizable. They were themselves. Meg pulled herself away from Aunt Beast, jumped to the floor, and rushed at Mrs. Watsit. But Mrs. Watsit held up a warning hand, and Meg realized that she was not completely materialized, that she was light and not substance, and embracing her now would have been like trying to hug a sunbeam. "We had to hurry, so there wasn't quite time. You wanted us?" Mrs. Watson asked. The tallest of the beasts bowed again and took a step away from the table and toward Mrs. Watson. "It is a question of the little boy."
"Father left him," Meg cried. "He left him on Kamazots!"
Appallingly, Mrs. Watson's voice was cold. "And what do you expect us to do?" Meg pressed her knuckles against her teeth so that her braces cut her skin. Then she flung out her arms pleadingly.
"But it's Charles Wallace! It has him, Mrs. Watson! Save him! Please save him!"
"You know that we can do nothing on Kamazots," Mrs. Watson said, her voice still cold.
"You mean you'll let Charles be caught by it forever?"
Meg's voice rose shrilly. "Did I say that?"
"But we can't do anything. You know we can't. We tried. Mrs. Watson, you have to save him."
"Meg, this is not our way," Mrs. Watson said sadly. "I thought you would know that this is not our way." Mr. Murray took a step forward and bowed, and to Meg's amazement, the three ladies bowed back to him. "I don't believe you've been introduced," Mrs. Watson said.
"It's Father. You know it's Father."
Meg's angry impatience grew.
"Father, Mrs. Watson, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Which?"
"I'm very glad to," Mr. Murray mumbled, then went on. "I'm sorry, my glasses are broken and I can't see you very well." "It's not necessary to see us," Mrs. Watson said. "If you could teach me enough more about the Tesseract so that I could get back to Kamazots."
"What then?"
came Mrs. Witch's surprising voice. "I will try to take my child away from it."
And you know that you will not succeed."
"There's nothing left except to try." Mrs. Watson spoke gently. "I'm sorry. We cannot allow you to go."
"Then let me," Calvin suggested. "I almost got him away before."
Mrs. Watson shook her head. "No, Calvin. Charles has gone even deeper into it. You will not be permitted to throw yourself in with him, for that, you must realize, is what would happen.